Yeah. It's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show. You know how we do. We back at it, baby. Now that we free, we free to talk about anything and everything we want to talk about. And it's our show, so we do. We say it just like we want to say it. We don't talk about it like other folks don't want to talk about it, because we're going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Ain't no other way to do it, baby.
I think they want to talk about it, but they can't talk
about it. They scared. They scared, Big Drake, because they got backers and money. We ain't got nobody backers. Now, if somebody want to back us and pay us money, we will talk about what you want us to talk about. We will talk about what you want us to talk about, how you want us to talk about it, if you want to put up that cheese to make us do that. So,
yeah, that much money, yeah.
Just want to make sure that that's out there. Not that we wouldn't if paid to, but we ain't getting paid right now, so we can talk about what we want to talk about, man. All right, bro. So, man, some of the other college football games. This week, Louisville showed back up, but last week, they got skullduggered on Friday of last week, man. So I'm sitting up there watching the game, and it's coming off the heels of what we talked about last week, I think, a week before last, when I was talking about just how Bridgewater still has never impressed me to the point to where I felt he was a stud. Every time I watch Bridgewater, I'm just like, he's a good quarterback. That's it. I've never said, oh, man, this dude's fun. I feel about Bridgewater, well, I feel a little bit better about him than I do A.J. McCarron from talent-wise, all right? So I feel like he physically has more talent, just physically gifted more, but I'm still more marveled at A.J. sometimes than I am Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Because A.J., like you say, you'll have games where A.J. is like 18 for 18. You're like, man, this is freaking crazy, even though it was only for 100 yards total, but he still was 18 for 18. You know what I'm saying? But when you watch Teddy Bridgewater, I've never been impressed, ever. And so when they got knocked off, I'm watching as they're mounting this last drive, and I'm sitting here the whole time like, they finna win. It doesn't matter what he do, they are not going to win. And to me, that's the difference in a stellar athlete. Just what I was talking about famous Jameis and Manziel and Mariota and those boys, is I have no confidence whatsoever that Teddy Bridgewater could have brought them boys back. And true, he didn't.
Well, I will admit there was one game where I was really impressed with him, and that was last year in the Sugar Bowl against Florida. He looked pretty doggone good.
I will concur with that. You are correct. In that game, you're right. He did look he looked poised.
Ever since that game, looking at him this year, I do agree with you. He doesn't capture the eye. He doesn't look like this dude is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
He's just been blessed with this God given talent that nobody has. No, he's an okay guy. And I guess this week I missed the game last week. I didn't physically sit there and watch it. I knew they got beat. Well, this week yesterday, the commentator, you know, mentioned about last week's game, and they were like, yeah, you know, it just goes to show you how hard it is to go undefeated no matter what league you play in. And I thought about that for a second.
No.
I'm like, yeah, he has a point. Then I'm like, well, if I'm going to say LSU, if Auburn keeps playing the way Auburn is playing, I'm going to say Auburn, Missouri, Alabama. I'm going to say Ole Miss. I put Ole Miss into this conversation. I would say Georgia, but I think with the injuries Georgia had, no matter if they were playing Pop Warner football, they would probably lost some of the
games. Yeah, they got a chance to lose.
Ole Miss, because it is Ole Miss, they ran into like a 5-week schedule from hell.
Yes, they did.
I mean, that was kind of long, but I mean, it's the SEC. Everybody got to play everybody.
Yeah.
If those teams I named were playing in the Big East, I think all of those teams would have had an excellent shot to go undefeated.
And they would not have gotten beat by which one beat him? Central Florida. Was it UConn?
It was
UF.
Yeah, Central University of Central Florida.
Yeah, UCF, yeah.
Yeah,
and they would not have got beaten by UCF.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama would have drug them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I just, But we've said this from the get-go. Been watching Louisville and watching the competition they play. A winner, and you brought it up a couple weeks ago, even a two-loss SEC team would be better than sending Louisville.
Defeated Louisville team. And I think they showed that last Friday.
it's crazy to me. And like I really looked at them. I think I've been looking at them all year, but I guess after the beat, you start looking at them like, these dudes aren't really that great.
No.
I see why y'all lost.
If
y'all had taken the SEC, y'all might be 500. Right. Maybe.
And that's a stretch. I mean, I give them a win against Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State.
Tennessee, depending on Tennessee at home.
If it's at their house of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, depending upon what the game is, because Ole Miss will probably give them a run. Georgia, just depending upon what part of the injuries you caught them with. After that, no, I probably ain't chalking no other W's up for y'all. I mean, I think Teddy Bridgewater get his chops eaten alive in the SEC.
Yeah.
Because he's doing this under minimal pressure. He's looking only okay under minimal pressure. When you get these hog heads that's coming out of the SEC coming at you every single game, my brother, we make mediocre men. We'll make good men look average. And I think he's a good player, and he will look very average in the SEC.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So, but I was happy that Food's goal is knocked out the way, and we can go talk about real football teams again. So we talked about Clemson and getting bulldozed by FSU. FSU knocked off NC State. And so that sets up the big showdown next week because Miami kept it rolling this week. And so next week we have the big Miami.
Miami almost got beat.
Yeah, I know. Again, playing around with Wake Forest, somebody that shouldn't even been in the game. I think I watch Miami. Miami's improved. Miami's decent. But I think, and I'll save my picks for later. I'll tell you what I think about the game later on. So, but Miami looks a subpar. So last week also the other big shocker came with Stanford getting knocked off by Utah. Big Drake, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, that may be BYU. I was gonna say, didn't they get knocked off by a team that don't even drink, don't do nothing, don't have women? But that's BYU, right?
Yes, BYU. BYU.
They get knocked off by a team. I can't say that. But nonetheless, it was Utah. All right. So this is the same Utah team that beat Alabama, 6 years ago now, 7 years ago. But no, it wasn't the same Utah team. I mean, dude, Utah, we were talking about Stanford among the ranks of SEC-esque teams in other divisions, and the only lone potential contender of Pac for the Pac-12 and knocking Oregon off, and they get beat by Utah. I mean,
you know, the way the Pac-12 would go, you know, they get beat by Utah, and Utah ended up beating USC yesterday. Stanford ended up beating Oregon. It just messed everything up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I hadn't seen, and yes, we are biased because we do represent an SEC school. I don't recall a time when an SEC school was undefeated or really pushing for a fight in a national championship game and got beat by mediocre talent. A couple years ago, I know. You correct me if I'm wrong. Out of the three championships that Alabama has, two of those years they at least lost one game, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then you look at who they lost to. 1 year was against LSU, who at that time was the number two team or something in the nation. The next team was Texas A&M,
who finished the season number five or six.
who thrashed Oklahoma in whatever bowl game that was, and had the reigning
Heisman Trophy
winner.
Yep.
I just can't fathom.
I think
these
if you
schools.
Think back, the last time. and they still got beat by SEC team, but that was a team that was mediocre, was when Ole Miss knocked off Florida. You remember the Tebow crying interview?
When Ole Miss had beat him?
Yeah, because remember Houston Nutt was coaching Ole Miss. I think that was the last time a, like you say, an undefeated SEC team, but that still was an SEC team they was playing.
but that particular year, they ended up bouncing back and winning the national championship that
they
year.
They did. They did. But that was the last time a team that was vying for a championship, undefeated, got beat by a team that they really just should not have lost to whatsoever. Because Ole Miss sucked that year.
When Houston Nutt was there, one of those years, they were top five.
Yeah, but that wasn't the year. I think it was the next year or something like that. It wasn't that year. Or it, the reason why they sucked that year is because they lost everything. And Houston Nutt ended up getting fired like the next year or something like that.
Okay.
So that it wasn't that year. But I say a team they should not have lost to, but in the SEC, and again, we're a little biased, but in the SEC, you can get beat every week. Last week was indicative of that, as six of the top 10 of our top teams got knocked. Well, five of our top teams got knocked off. So last week just shows you any week anybody get beat in the SEC.
Yeah.
But I think the scenario you're talking as you're speaking, I think that was the last time. But I can't recall a time when a strong national title contender SEC team got knocked off by a very, very weak, especially somebody, to the caliber that Utah, who end up then coming on this week and get beat by USC.
Yeah, Utah. You are supposed to be fighting for a national championship. You didn't lose to Oregon.
That's right.
And you lost to Utah, man. Yeah. Is Utah even in the Pac-12?
That's why I was finna say a non-conference opponent, but I didn't say it because I wasn't positive whether or not Utah was in the Pac-12 or not.
If Utah is, this might be their first year in.
Yeah, that's what I say. If they are, they just got in there.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous nonetheless. And yeah. Until I see otherwise, and I am on record saying that I think Oregon will win the national championship. But up until that happens and I actually see it, it's all SEC all day, every day for me.
Yeah. And with that being said, what you said, brother, did you see game day? All right, so now what started off, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, when Oregon was thrashing Tennessee, towards the start of the season, and the fans started chanting, "We want Bama." Well, that this has now turned into a movement for the Oregon fan base. Did you see game day this weekend?
I saw some of the signs that said Roll Tide, Roll Ducks.
Yeah.
Am I missing something else?
No. SC game day. So game day, not SC game day. Game day was in was out west at the Oregon UCLA game. The fan base behind game day had green shirts on that said "We want Bama." They had signs behind all behind them folks saying "We want Bama." When game day came on, that crowd started chanting "We want Bama."
Wow,
that fan base is all in it, brother. All right, so I took you on record saying that. I'm on record saying that they are decent. They're a very good team, and this year may be the one year where they have the best shot at knocking us off. But after seeing this here at week number, week number 9 of a typically 15 to 16 week college football season, and their fan base is completely neglecting everything else they got to do to get to the part where we have owned the throne for the last 7 years. Whether it be, and I'm not automatically giving Alabama the spot because there's another team in the state of Alabama that is poised to be able to take that spot as well. But if it is Bama, I am on record right now of saying, and I feel so passionate right now. I want Bama to destroy these boys. You don't ever call the champ out, baby. You don't call the champ out. I'm sorry, Big Drake. You don't call the champ out. You have not proven anything yet. You cannot call the champ out.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that's disrespect, man. That's disrespect to me. You called the champ out. And you ain't. Now, had this been Pac-12 championship week, and they getting ready to knock out, you know, win the Pac-12 championship, finish off undefeated season, all that, I'm good with you telling everybody, we want Bama. We want Bama. But, bro, they still got a little road ahead.
You know what? And that's one thing I will commend Nick Saban with his style of coaching. And not saying that working coach is doing it, but the style of coach Nick Saban is, he is so domineering that if his fan base was doing that, he would say something.
He'd kick him out of the stadium.
Hey, man, we're about to play UCLA. They have a great team. They have this. They have that. If we don't come with it, we'll get beat. We'll do this. We'll do that. And you guys need to, you know, he would address it. And
I love that. Stadium, but, Drake. He came out of the stadium.
Yeah, you're right. I do love that about him. I think in his mind, he knows, okay, we're about to go ahead and thump Tennessee.
Yeah.
But he's got to, as a coach, you have to make sure your team stays on his toes.
Stays focused.
So you could trade in interviews when you talk to the team, hey, Tennessee, you know, if they almost beat a couple teams, we don't want to be that team that they almost beat, that they end up beating.
That's right.
We want to say, well, they almost beat certain. No, we don't want them to say, well, you know, Tennessee beat Alabama.
Yep.
So we got to come with it. We have to, you know, run our game plan. Dude is protective on all the things that he says, but I do love that about him because he gives the portray that, hey, I am seeking perspection. I don't care if we're playing Opelika High School.
Right. I want to dominate every person that steps on the other side of the football.
Yeah.
That really, I'm sorry, when I was watching game day again, I am a, by birth, I am an Alabama hater because I am an Auburn alumni. But watching that, that angered me so bad. I said, seriously? Are y'all really calling the champ out? I mean, and again, it's because you're unproven. You can't call the champ out unless you've proven something. You know what I'm saying? If it's the end, and like I say, going into the last, to the BCS, they finna pick who the BCS bowl and making it be known who you want, I'm good with that. But we're still almost halfway. I mean, we're just over the halfway point of the season right now.
A lot of football left.
A lot of football left. You still got to play Stanford. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of football left. A lot of stuff can happen before you ever even get to being able to talk about taking the champ on. You know, I hope that the SEC is able to continue to dominate and get their spot in the national championship so that whoever is on the other side gets a chance to truly be able to say, if they are the true champion, they'll be able to honestly say that they won it by beating the man. Because in the words of the famous Ric Flair, to beat a man, you got to beat the man. Woo!
Woo! Yeah.
So that just shocked me a little bit, saying that, do that, man. All right, so the other undefeateds, man, last week, Missouri. Missouri. Yeah, I'm trying to think. My brain going 100 miles an hour. Missouri went in and took care of business. So this week they got a chance. So they maintained their undefeated standards. And this week, last week was Florida. Florida ran into the house. And I picked Missouri to beat Florida. Because, again, Florida, Muschamp is a defensive coordinator. I'll continue to say that until they finally fire him. Muschamp is a defensive coordinator. The sooner they realize that, the better off their program will be. But then, so this week, South Carolina ran into the house. And I bowled again. I picked South Carolina I picked Missouri to thump these boys' head just because South Carolina is another one of those teams that just has not impressed me. And going into midway through the second quarter and getting ready to go to the third, it seemed as if my prediction would be very would hold true until South Carolina has a young Brook. He's not that young. He's been playing for a long time. But Connor Shaw pulled a Willis Reed. And for those who don't know the game I'm talking about, when Willis Reed came for the New York Knicks out the back after having a busted knee, bad back, and I think he had bronchitis. But he still came out and led the Knicks on the charge. He pulled a Willis Reed, boy, Steve Spurrier put Connor Shaw in. I can't remember if it was the second quarter or midway to third quarter. And Connor Shaw went head on. At that point that he went in, I think it was 17-3 or 17-6 or something. Well, Connor Shaw went on to hang another 24 points or so on these boys. And, man, South Carolina pulls it off in overtime, bro. I mean, it was a great game. I stayed up last night and watched that game.
South Carolina beat Missouri?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Missouri is no longer undefeated. Missouri is no longer undefeated.
No. Whoa, I didn't know that.
South Carolina went into the house. Let me try to replay the game. All right, so like I said, Curtis Shaw comes in. I think the score was 17-6. He proceeds to lead South Carolina to tying it up 17-all. And so they go into overtime, 17-all, knot it up. He leads them on a last-minute drive. They score with like 39 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. So he pulled a Willis Reed. They go to the overtime. Missouri get the ball. Missouri drives down, scores. Connor Shaw on fourth down, Big Drake, throws a stripe to the back of the end zone. Wide receiver standing wide open. Fourth down in overtime. So scores the touchdown and then leads them down. So they get this. Of course, South Carolina gets the ball in the second half. Connor Shaw leads them down. They didn't score. They get a field goal. It appears Missouri is again is poised to knock this thing to take this thing out because the first play the quarterback rambles against the ball all the way down to like the 10, and so they have three plays they don't punch it in. So they line up for a 24-yard field goal, laces out. The laces were facing the kicker. Kicker bangs it off the goalpost, baby. And South Carolina upsets the boys at Missouri. For a 3-point victory in double overtime. Great football.
Did not know that.
Great football. But South Carolina came up with the W, man. Came over the W. Again, the kicker, laces were in facing the kicker, and subsequently, man, the kicker banged it off the goalpost, man. Hey, with that being said, do you know why do the kickers have to have the laces out?
I think it messes with the contact, the flush contact they have when they kick the ball.
With the football?
Yes.
Okay. I never understood that.
If the laces are facing inward to them.
Uh-huh, and hits the shoe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But that is just speculation. I do not know. We need to get a kicker on the show.
If we got a kicker, if there are any kickers listening to our show, please text us, email us, kingpin@mademanradio.com, Big Drake at Made Man Radio. Let us know why you got to have the laces out, because I never fully understood why. So, but, yeah, man, so South Carolina knocks off Missouri last night. So South Carolina is still actually theoretically in the hunt for the SEC East. If Missouri would have beat South Carolina, they would have sealed up the SEC East because there would have been no way they could have lost it then. With South Carolina having three losses, and Georgia's losses, as well as who else is in the East that was contending? There was one other team, I thought. I can't remember who it was right now.
Was it Florida?
Yeah, it may have been Florida. Especially after Missouri knocked off Florida last week. So, so South Carolina knocked off Missouri, man. As I say, any given Sunday, man, every given Saturday in the SEC, somebody can go down. And this is right off the heels of last week, South Carolina getting knocked off by Tennessee at Tennessee. And, bro, I think it's something about playing at Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's something about playing in front of those 102,000, 108,000.
They got a bunch of them, though.
They stadium holds somewhere between 102,000 and 108,000. It's something about playing in front of them because, of course, they almost beat Georgia, and then they knocked off South Carolina up there.
And they almost beat somebody else, too. I can't remember who. But, yeah. As far as Auburn-wise, I am worried about that. I mean, I'm worried about all of them, but –
I'm worried about
I will say this. I mean, it's just something special that some Tigers have in that stadium at night. We play very well at Jordan here at night.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for the Vols. They play very well in their home stadium, and we have to travel to them. I'm nervous about that. I'm nervous about all of them, but I'm really nervous about that one.
I agree, because it seems as if Butch Jones, I think is his last name. I want to call it Butch Davis, but I think it's Butch Jones.
It is.
I mean, he has these boys poised, though. You know, and again, not when they go on the road for some reason, but at the house, they tough to handle, man. They got in front of that crowd, they tough to handle. Now, coming down here to Alabama, I picked them to lose by 40. But in Alabama, yeah. but the Tennessee fans are excited, man, because at least they have something to be excited about, which is far different than when Dooley was there. So another one, other unbeaten that fell last night, man, was Texas Tech. This game, Texas Tech and Oklahoma both came in undefeated. I picked Texas Tech to beat Oklahoma, man. I have been impressed with Texas Tech from watching them week one and what Killingsbury has done with that team and coaching those boys. I said Killingsbury, if he does not have loyalty to Texas Tech, he will be the new Texas coach. That was before Mack Brown fired a couple cats and shook up and got everybody scared and made them start playing. But Killingsbury came in. But Oklahoma handled these boys, man. Big Bob, big game, Bob. Got another undefeated team, man, over midway through the season. But we know how this plays out. Bob Stoops, we know how this plays. This ain't the first roller coaster for him. But I thought Texas Tech was going to go in there and beat them, but they lost by 8 to Oklahoma. It still does not take away what Killingsbury has been able to do for those boys. That they play inspired football, has a great offensive weaponry, has a great – he's a former offensive coordinator, and his play calling is absolutely phenomenal when you watch some of the plays called for those boys. So, all right, man, so last week, and then a couple other games we missed last week. The Tennessee LSU got knocked off by Ole Miss. Bruh, in the words of Mr. Humidor – It's Ole Miss.
I agree with the Humidor and it's Ole Miss, but I really believe, I know he made the comment that their coach, you know, our coach and their coach have the high school thing in common, but there's only one coach still coaching as if they're in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, that was funny and hilarious, but I really believe that something special is going on over there at Ole Miss because they got some top recruiting classes coming in. And the attitude, the demeanor of the team, the fight is there. And sometimes it takes a year of thinking you're there and getting punched in the mouth before you actually get there. And what I said earlier, they had a real tough 5 or 6 games that was just brutal, where they were on the road almost all of those games.
And playing top competition.
Yeah, I mean, it was Alabama 1 week, Texas A&M, LSU, Auburn. And I guess before the season, I'm pretty sure most people were like, okay, out of those 5 games, they'll beat Auburn.
Yep.
But, you know, that was a fair assessment to make.
That's right.
But so let's say, okay, you beat Auburn, but you still have Texas A&M, LSU, and Alabama. In that 4 or 5 week span, that's tough, man. That's really tough. And I think if the toughness could have been spread out a little bit, you know, LSU, Texas A&M, with Tom Kotet, Opelika High School, then Alabama, then Florida Atlantic, then LSU. You know, just, I mean, it was just back to back to back to back to back. But somehow, some way, they were able, if I'm not mistaken, they went down to LSU and beat them, correct?
I can't remember if the game was at LSU or Ole Miss. I can't remember that. I can't remember.
Okay. I think neither do I. But nonetheless, they beat them. And that was a shocker to me.
Every Saturday, any given Saturday in the SEC, you can go down, man. I mean, I'm with you. I was a little shocked. It's like, really? LSU, you got beat by Ole Miss? I mean, but, dude, it's what's going on. And LSU, when I flipped a couple times, it wasn't looking good in the first half against Furman, I didn't think. I mean, they
scored like 13-10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't impressive when I flipped back.
Whoa.
And
forth.
But it looks like they turned on the Jets come the second half of that Ole Miss game, man.
I need to make one quick comment, and this is going to be off cards on the pros because I am watching this Atlanta game like I sure you know you're watching.
Yep.
I think I said this a couple shows ago. There is something about when you give a non-proven quarterback. Because, matter of fact, we did have this discussion. We talked about Tony Romo and all these other people that got these $100 million contracts.
Top money.
And how skeptical I was because it seemed like when you – and I'm pretty sure I made this statement because I named Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning. Those guys, because of just who they are, when they got their contracts, the stats got better scopes, got a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority and overall, and the tendency is when you give a non-proven quarterback, and these three quarterbacks won Super Bowls before they got their contract.
Right.
These other quarterbacks who the potential is maybe there, and they're on the upside, so we're going to give them these real big contracts to keep them with the team.
One proven.
And then they always go out and stink it up. And I'm watching Atlanta game. I'm talking about straight up Matty Ice. This dude was horrific this year.
In fairness to Matty Ice, you know, you had Tony Gonzalez who didn't go to training camp because he's 63 years old. So you had to wait to get consistent. You lost. I mean, Roddy White is out. Julio Jones is out. You went and put big money out on Steven Jackson. He's just coming back this week. I mean, all the weapons you had given him, he had none of them at his disposal. With that being said, I concur he sucks.
So if I pay you $100 million, if you got me at 300+ and you at 280 or 260, wherever you are, and we line up at wide receiver,
you better make something happen.
You need to make we need to win a couple games now.
Hey, even AJ McCarron can hit 18-18 for 100 yards.
Yeah, we won some games, bro. In this game here, in the last few games, but in this game that I'm watching right now, he has thrown two interceptions where we talked about the Giants a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, well, the reason why I think Eli Manning is struggling because he's trying to win it all on one throw. He's trying to squeeze the ball in tight spot that maybe he shouldn't, and he's getting picked off. Well, I'm looking at Matty Ice, and that's not the case. He's just making dumb, stupid decisions where he's like, hey, you. Yeah, you right there. I know you're not on my team, but I'm about to throw you the ball.
I'm going to throw you the
ball. I'm going to throw you the ball.
It's like he lining up. Cornerback post on one. Cornerback post on one.
So, I just had to say that because I'm watching him. I think he just gave this dude. And see, what happens is it messes up the flow of the rest of your team. That is why the Ravens are sucking a little bit because they gave Flacco for all that money. Now, true enough, you freed up some money when Ray Lewis retired. Ed Reed was a free agent. Ed Reed didn't come back because y'all didn't want to match the money.
Yep.
And because
Texans didn't pay him that much.
Yeah, and you couldn't match the money because you paid Joe Flacco all this money. And see, what happened, it just really affects the entire team. But you gave Matty Ice all this money. I think it's given, and I could be wrong, but I think it's in the books. You know, Gonzalez ain't coming back next year.
No, this was it. I mean, it took a lot just to get him to come back this year.
Yeah. So, Steven Dum Dum Jackson, because his lips so big, he looked like old buddy off Fat Albert. Every time I see him and his bottom lip, that's what I think of, the Fat Albert character. He's never healthy, and then when he does play, I mean, them first 5 years, he was a beast. But really? I mean, are we looking at him really? This dude averaged maybe 3 yards a carry. He don't do nothing. you know, he ain't going to carry a team, because out of all those, the whole time he was with St. Louis, he didn't carry that team. They lost.
He just did his part. He just ran the
football. Yeah. And I'm like, so I'm thinking they're not going to sign him. I mean, what are they going to do after they gave Matty Ice his $100 million? They're going to have to sign people, is what I'm getting at. And if you want to get good quality people, even at his old age, Tony Gonzalez is still one of the better tight ends in the league. Yeah. So it's not his fault. So he's going to leave. What tight end are you going to pay to come on in there? You got no money.
You better hope you draft somebody that's great.
Yeah, he draft. old dum-dum Fat Albert Lip, he probably not going to get re-signed. What money, I mean, you're going to have to sign a good running back. Yeah. What money are you going to use to sign him? Like you said, if they draft a good running back in the draft.
You gave Matt Ice everything.
Yeah. Okay,
we do
that.
Sorry. And, you know, of course, the one that sucks the most to me was Tony Romo.
I didn't want to get you on with him just yet.
I agree more with Matty Ice than Tony Romo. At least Matty Ice 26, Tony Romo 46. At least Matty Ice got 20 years on him.
You know? Yeah,
and that's just absolutely the first again. I want to go on record my NFL season on Madden, since my first move as new CEO of the Cowboys with Madden was to trade Tony Romo, and I traded him for Terrell Pryor. Subsequently, my Cowboys are 11-2.
Yeah.
And we got $30 million in cap for me to buy all my players next year. All right, Big Drake, man, we're going to come on back, man, and hit this Alabama-Tennessee game. We're going to talk about the Auburn-Texas A&M game from last week and the Auburn game for this week, and give a preview of some of the games that's on the way. We're going to make our picks for this week, and then we'll also, if we got time, we'll try to squeeze one more episode in here and hit some NFL football before we let Big Drake go and get him some much-needed rest.
Yeah, a long drive ahead of me tomorrow.
So we're gonna try to hit. We're gonna try to give you two shows. We're gonna try to make up for what we missed out last week. So we ain't gonna shortchange y'all. We're gonna try to
get
up. Man, it's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Man Radio. Hey, hit us up, man. Tell us what you think about the show. Kingpin at MadeManRadio.com, Big Drake at MadeManRadio.com. Man, we love to hear what you got to say, man. We love hearing from our fans all the time. And it makes me feel good. One of our fans came up to me today and said, I said, I was speaking, man. It was Big Mike. Big Mike at church. And Big Mike said, yeah, since Kingpin and Big Drake left us hanging this week.
We're back on it, brother. We're back
on it, baby. We're back on it, man. You know how we do. Come on back.
My feet to the flow and begin to praise them. This feeling is so amazing. Who am I to game play? So be that as it may, I'm grateful cause he's truly able to multiply my very little like a timetable. See, I had little faith, prideful attitude. I had to let some people go to show myself approved. Walked away from the stages that people died for. Turned down paper that most my killers arrived for. Can you imagine a stadium full of ladies singing? Lay your body down. Preparing for me to lay them. Little weed and money, cars, clothes, and stuff. And it seems like I got it all, but inside I was missing something. Fatigue from all the running. Surrender, Lord, I'm coming. Constant prayer for me, mommy, not me. God over me. There's a reason why I sing. You don't even know the things that I done seen. But he saved me.
That's the reason why I praise the Lord.
He saved me.
That's the reason why I praise the Lord.
There's a reason why I pray. Lord knows I done been through some pain, but he saved me.
Praise God, and he deserved the praises. Been in the worst of cases, emerged from the dirt I bathed in. Ain't talking murder cases. And though it hurts to say it, folks in church today feel like only murderers work for Satan. I used to spew his doctrine like it was second nature. My version of truth was nonsense. Don't let the devil play it. Got this Yeshua popping. Whether I'm selling major or moving a few in Compton, I ain't doing hell no favors. I celebrate him cause he's worthy. worthy of the celebration. He sent his only son to earth for me when hell was waiting. He hit the cross like a boss and was elevated, only to be tossed off in a tomb he would never stay in. And I ain't perfect either, but I'm a firm believer that while I was yet in my dirt, he had the nerve to clean us. So I'ma rep him hard. This ain't no fairy tale. Chasing heaven, hope you get to know the owner very well.
You don't even know the things that I done seen.